Grace and peace be unto you from our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So far, our text. Please be seated. In the name of our good shepherd, Jesus, who laid down his life for us, the sheep, their fellow redeemed. When we hear or think of the 23rd Psalm, we are reminded of our sheep-like characteristics and tendencies, as well as Jesus' loving, shepherding care for us. Well, a sinful pride doesn't like to hear that we are totally helpless and hopeless without the Lord. This is a fact of life. As the Spirit of God then helps us to acknowledge this, the poetic message that's found in Psalm 23 is a source of great comfort and hope. Under the tender, loving care of the Lord, who is the chief shepherd of our souls, we who are sheep of his pasture experience a life of peace, contentment, and security. The spirit of tranquility and serenity is realized when we look to the Lord in faith and we follow his guide and leading through the troubled problems of this life. The prophet Isaiah helps us in this regard through the message of our text as it reveals our sheep-like ways and Jesus' shepherding care. In the first part of our brief text, Isaiah directs our attention to one aspect of sheep, that they have a tendency of straying. I can say this from personal experience when taking care of sheep. Years ago, I worked on a farm in South Dakota and had to take care of sheep. My, I'd have to say they're some of the dumbest animals I've ever encountered. Just one example. You know, we had them all fenced in and they would go along the fence and one of the sheep would find a hole in the fence and you'd go out. And the rest would follow. And no matter how hard I tried to get them back into the fence through that hole, they would not go back in. Yeah, they have a straying tendencies. Quite often, sheep can be found wandering off and leaving behind the care of their shepherd. Following the impulses and whims, they find themselves in pastures eating noxious weeds or drinking from polluted potholes. And then when they wander off from the wonderful enclosure and the care of their shepherd, they're vulnerable to predatory animals. Sheep who have gone astray from their shepherd simply cannot survive on their own. The similarities between sheep and sinful mankind are very striking. Human waywardness is evidenced by the following sentiment. I want to decide for myself what is right and what is wrong. I want to do what I choose to do if I think it will make me happy. Whenever we go on our way following our impulses and inclinations, most often we have chosen a path that takes us away from our Lord and his righteous paths. And why is this? It's because having a natural, inborn, sinful nature, the Spirit of God is not there to govern us, at least our sinful nature. Instead of our straying footsteps taking us down the road of happiness, we stumble and trip and fall into life of heartache, grief, and destruction. Isaiah was undoubtedly thinking of the past history of the Israelites when he said, "Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." The Lord had especially chosen the Jews to be his very own people, his flock of his pasture. With his almighty hand, he took care of all their needs, and through his revealed word, he called this people out of the world to be a separate people, to follow him in faith and love. Yet in spite of this loving shepherding care, down through the years, the children of Israel repeatedly strayed far and wide away from the Lord. Shortly after God miraculously delivered the children of Israel from their captivity in Egypt, they can be found on 10 occasions murmuring and complaining against the Lord. In the book of the Psalms, the Lord characterized his chosen people sojourn in the wilderness. "For 40 years, I was grieved with that generation and said, 'It is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways.'" In the period of the kings that followed, this is the way they could be characterized, found in these words of Scripture. "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." And during the period of the kings, they could be found repeatedly following the worldly and idolatrous ways of the pagans that were found in Palestine. During those Old Testament times, the Lord sent his prophets to serve as shepherds, to bring them back into the flock. Some responded to that, came back to the Lord, whereas many did not. And then many years later, when Jesus came on the scene, the Jews were characterized as lost sheep, without a shepherd. Isaiah's statement in our text, "All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way," is not simply applicable to one race or nation. It applies to everybody, all races and all nations, to you and to me and all mankind. And the sins of the world are more out in the open today. That what was said and done under the darkness of night is now done in the light of day. And people are so bold to rebuke those who find fault with their perverse living and label their detractors as close-minded, bigots, and haters. Human society feels very free to do its own thing, going its own way, and even revel in it. And speaking of the straying ways of the Lord, we shouldn't deceive ourselves into thinking, well, we're without sin, we're without fault. Neither should we imagine we're not susceptible to straying away from the Lord. Please note that when Isaiah spoke these words, he was also talking about himself and you and me. All we like sheep have gone astray. Now, while the prophet Isaiah was a God-fearing man, and he was very faithful in carrying out his ministry, yet he acknowledged the fact he was a sinner, just like you and me. Like all of us, we need a good shepherd to seek after us and bring us back, leading us to repentance and faith in him for his pardoning mercy. The tendency to stray is ever present with us on account of our sinful and imperfect nature that prompts us to go our own way, our own sinful way. And each time we stray in some kind of sin, it can have a dreadful outcome, separating us from the Lord and bringing us under a fearful judgment. Were it not for our good shepherd bringing us back again and again into his fold, turning us to repentance and faith in him, leading us under his gracious staff of his word. While we have oftentimes forsaken the Lord and going astray and have deserved his wrath and punishment, the Lord has never, ever forsaken us. Paul speaks of God's faithfulness to us in these words: if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. The Lord has shown himself to be a faithful and loving shepherd who dearly cares for us and all the world. As our good shepherd, Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. And he didn't just come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but he came for all others. He said, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." He's talking about you. He's talking about me, who've been brought to faith in Jesus to be a part of his sheepfold. The Gospel of Matthew gives evidence of Jesus' loving kindness and tender mercies toward the lost sheep of Israel, as we read. "When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd." Jesus' great love for the lost and condemned sheep compelled him to have mercy upon them and prompted him to take every measure to rescue them. Jesus' rescue efforts were not only in words, but also in actions. He said himself in the Gospel of John, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." A faithful shepherd is one who willingly subjects himself to life's threatening risks in order to save his sheep from harm and danger. Well, Jesus didn't simply subject himself to danger. He threw himself into the jaws of death and hell to eternally rescue us and all the world. Our text in Isaiah gives us this perspective of Jesus' efforts as the good shepherd. "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Paul writes of this in 2 Corinthians, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." God transferred all our sins on Jesus and punished him for them. And then he transferred Jesus' righteousness to us. Again, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he refers to sin as the sting of death. Sin has a terrible sting because it causes death. The prophet Ezekiel writes, "The soul who sins shall die." We know from Scripture that the stinger of sin not only causes temporal death, it can finally and eventually cause eternal and everlasting death in hell. Not wanting any of us to suffer this last and most dreadful kind of death, it was the will of the Heavenly Father to have his only begotten Son suffer the sting of death and condemnation in our place. Looking again to our text, we learn that the Father caused all the sins of the world to strike his Son to the fullest extent. He stung Jesus with a severe punishment for every sin of mankind. Because of what our Good Shepherd has suffered for us in our place, the sting of death has been removed. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Because Jesus has overcome sin and conquered death, we can say together with the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The story was once told about a young Christian lad who was asked by his pastor when he first knew that all his sins had been forgiven by God in heaven. The young fellow quickly said, "When the bee stung my mother." Well, he's talking about a time when he was being chased by a bee. And he made matters worse when he tried to shoo the bee away. So he ran quickly to his mother and he hid behind his mother's apron, and she put her arms around him. And the bee landed on her arm and stung her so deeply it left the stinger in her flesh. And then she reassured her son, "You don't have to be afraid. That bee can't sting you. He's lost his stinger. So he can't sting you." And then the young man tells, well, this was Jesus. I forgot a part here. The mother went on to explain to him, in a similar manner, Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That moment of realization, the lad said, "I shall never forget it. It was all so clear then. I saw and understood for the first time what my mother had taught me for a long time, that God would not punish me because he has punished Jesus in my stead." May we ever have that simple knowledge and childlike faith, ever looking to Jesus in faith as our good shepherd who laid down his life for our sheep to bless us with life everlasting in heaven. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.